Our next speaker is Tim Head, and he will be talking about the Bayesian optimization, and I guess a new way, better than guessing the pattern process, right?
Yeah, hopefully.
Please. Okay.
Hi, I'm Tim. I'm an independent consultant, and I work with people who want to build new products, usually involving machine learning. But in my free time, or usually at work as well, I work on a project called scikit-optimize. And so I will tell you about that today. And I will also explain to you what Bayesian optimization is, because that is what scikit-optimize does. But because that's a fairly dry title, at least to me, I think a much better title would be how to make the best beer, especially here in Erlangen. And, you know, maybe yesterday evening you got a little insight into how hard it is to brew beer and keep it cold if you don't have a fridge yet. So beer, it's potentially controversial here in Germany to start meddling with the recipe for beer, but you know, there is a recipe and it tells you what ingredients you should use, how much you should use, and it also tells you how to brew the beer, like how long each of the steps should take and should you repeat one of them or not or whatever. And depending on what you do and where you buy your ingredients from, then you get a different taste. And that is potentially a very high dimensional problem or optimization problem you want to solve. So for today, I will just assume that there's two parameters that we can directly tweak, which is the alcohol content and the bitterness of the beer. Because then we have a nice 2D problem and I can draw some figures for you that we can look at and think about and understand, because 5D or 6D gets really difficult. So now the question is, how would you find the best combination of alcohol and bitterness? And usually people suggest, well, we go to the pub and we buy one of each that they have on offer, and we try a little bit or a little bit more, and we make a little note. And that is, I think, essentially how you do it. No, you have to get a group of friends together and make them drink beer and collect how they rate it. So this has two problems. The more beers people try, the more they will like beer, probably. Or at the very least, the more noisy their score gets. So, you know, they will suddenly decide that they really hate this, even though, you know, six beers ago, you gave them the same beer and they gave it a completely different rating. So the important thing to take away is it's expensive to find out the rating of a beer, because you need to get all your friends, you need to buy all of them beer, and then you also have to brew the beer, so it takes a really long time. You only have noisy observations of the score. And also, there's no mathematical expression that tells you how alcohol content and bitterness and the brewing process and the score that your friends will give all relate to each other, so you can't compute any gradients. And all of this is a very long way to say that it's an extremely expensive function to evaluate. You can think of brewing beer as a Python function. Now you call it with some arguments, it returns back a value. In between, you know, it controls robots in your futuristic brewery and then, you know, sends an email to your friends and sends them samples and collects everything back. But you can think of it as a function that just takes a very, very long time to run. So this is an optimization problem, and this is where then scikit-optimize comes in. And if you guys attended Gael's SciPy tutorial 2 days ago, then probably you're thinking, I know what to do. I will just type from SciPy import optimize, and you know, we'll be done. Why does Tim have, you know, so much time to talk about this? And I will show you what happens if you do this. So I packaged up, you know, a brewery and all my friends and everything in this little function called beer score. And because I think the score should be higher for tastier beers, but most optimization algorithms actually are minimizers, so you have to multiply it by -1. Then there's also, we have to decide some kind of budget. So I think we can do 50 different combinations of alcohol content and bitterness before I've run out of money to, you know, brew more rounds of beer. And we also have some bounds. So I know that beer which has 0% alcohol content is, well, arguably maybe beer. But, you know, so we set a limit at 2. And also from experience, if you get to the really, really strong beers with like 14 or 15 or 20% alcohol content, they're also not very tasty. And then also for the bitterness, I just decided between 5 and 80 is somehow a reasonable range. So then we import optimize from SciPy. And now all we have to do is we give it the function to call. We give it some kind of starting point, and we give it the bounds, and we use the maxfun keyword argument, which tells you how often you're allowed to call the function. And then the important thing is to make all of this work, because we don't know how to compute the gradients, we have to also set approx grad to true. So you run this, and you go like, okay, fine. It prints out lots of information. So apparently around 7 and around 29 is where the optimum is. The score there is minus 0.4. Okay. You also see that it made 54 calls, so it approximately stays within the limit that you set. But most importantly, in this error message, you know, independent of what you actually understand about what it really is trying to tell you, it tells you, it's not telling you, I'm convinced I arrived at the minimum. It's just telling you, I've used up all the iterations that you allowed me to do. So to look a little bit at what it's doing, I'll run it again, and this time keep track of the points which it evaluates, because then we can make a little plot from it. So you see, we get exactly the same answer, which is nice. So if there are random numbers involved, then somebody set the seed correctly. So, and this just plots each evaluation in this space of alcohol content and bitterness. And the number one thing to notice is most of these points are somewhere in the center, so it doesn't really explore this space very well. And if you count them very quickly, then there's only 18 of them that you can see. Trust me. And then the question is, so where did the other, you know, 30-odd evaluations go? And the answer is, actually, there are 54 points here, but most of them are on top of each other, because what it does to work out the gradient is evaluate combinations or parameters which are very close to each other. And that's it has to do this, but it's not particularly useful if you're trying to brew beer, because, you know, very, very small variations in the parameters are not going to, you know, fundamentally change your beer. So this is the answer why SciPy.optimize is not going to help you for doing this. So Bayesian optimization. It's a very smart idea, and the easiest way to explain it without making a lecture course out of it is to tell people, well, I show you this, and I tell you, on the x-axis you have your variable x, on the y-axis you have the evaluation of the some function f at that value of x, and these are the blue points you see. And then I ask people, okay, where do you think is the minimum of this function that is plotted, well, of which we have three evaluations here? Where do you think? Rough guess. Yeah, so somewhere, you know, 0, maybe 1, somewhere around there. And what we do in our head is we look at it and go like, well, probably it's not super wiggly and it's not doing crazy things in between the points. It's kind of going down on the left-hand side, and this means it has to turn around at some point and go back up through that point on the top right-hand corner. So if you want to make this more fancy sounding, you say we fit a model, and then we find the minimum of this model, and that is our prediction for where the minimum is. And this is what you do in Bayesian optimization in very simple terms as well. You evaluate a few points, then you fit a regression model to it, and you use that model to help you predict or make guess where the minimum is, given what you know. Then you go there and you evaluate your function, and then you fit the model again, and you keep doing that until you run out of money. So this is a little notebook which is a demonstration of how this works in 1D. So this uses an objective function which looks like this. And if you can work out in your head where the minimum of this is going to be, don't spoil it for your neighbor. I have a little interactive widget. And what you can see is, so in green is the regression model that we fit to the three red dots, which are evaluations of this 1D function. And you can see far away from the red dots, the dashed line comes back to zero because that's some of the prior we put in to the model. But there's a big shaded green area around it, which is telling you that the model is not very sure about what the value of the function is around there. So instead of now saying, okay, let's evaluate the next point again close to where we think the minimum is, actually you have a derived quantity that you calculate from your model and the uncertainty in the model, which is called an acquisition function, and there's a whole zoo of them that you can choose, that tries to trade off exploring regions where you know nothing versus exploiting the minimum that you currently suspect to be the best minimum. And in this case, it's called expected improvement, and it almost does exactly what you think from the label. It tries to give a high score to points where you expect to make a large improvement on your current minimum. So if you now evaluate the next point, it will appear on the left here. So I slide the slider, we wait a little bit, and then you see the new point arrives. So in this time, it turns out to also be zero here, but you see the uncertainty has shrunk. And now the next point, I think, will appear around here because that's the maximum of the expected improvement, which is plotted in blue. So we slide it one more. And you can see how this works, one step at a time, and you build up a better idea of where the minimum is. So if you slide it all the way, like somewhere over here, you can see it evaluates it kind of all over the space that you have, but it then very quickly starts putting lots of samples where it thinks the minimum is to try and really nail that down. So this is a very good way to figure out where the minimum or a minimum of your function is. It doesn't necessarily give you a good picture of what the function really looks like because we're not interested in doing that. So this is a more academic version of expressing what we're trying to do on the left-hand side. On the right-hand side are the three conditions that your problem has to fulfill before you should be turning to Bayesian optimization. If these three conditions aren't fulfilled, there's probably a tool out there that will allow you to solve your problem more easily or more quickly. And so it has to be a black box function. We already talked about this. So your brewery plus your friends, that's a function for which you don't know the mathematical expression. And that usually means you cannot compute the gradients. Because if you can compute the gradients, please make use of them. It also has to be very expensive. So if it's not very expensive, then you could use, for example, genetic algorithms to do this. And then maybe a 2.5th condition is that you only have access to noisy observations. And yes, so this is my get out of jail free card. If anybody comes and says, I have a better way of doing this. And then yes, if you don't have these three constraints, please don't use it. You shouldn't. So back to beer. We import again our beer score function and we set up the budget. And this time, instead of importing stuff from SciPy, we import it from SKOpt, which is the short version of scikit-optimize. Yes. More? Better? We'll have to shrink it probably for the figures again, but okay. Yes, we use the same budget, we use the same bounds, we use the same function. There's no dark magic or tricks. And then instead of importing, or the function to import is called gp underscore minimize, and there's a whole bunch of them in scikit-optimize that make choices about what model you use internally to model your unknown function. And this has almost exactly the same interface as all of the minimize functions in SciPy. So we thought that was a nice interface, and we copied it. And if you run this, so you give it the function that you want to evaluate, you give it the bounds, you tell it what your budget is, and then you have to, if you want to make a nice presentation where everything works, then you also need to tweak a little bit the parameters. So normally the number of random starts is set to 10. And what this is doing is saying the first few times we evaluate the function, we have no information on making a good prediction where to go next. So we're essentially picking points at random. And then you just set this. Normally it's set to 10, but then we get stuck in a local optimum. So I set it to 20. And if you now print out the best position, then you find out that so 5.1% alcohol content and a bitterness of 12.55 is what I like very much when I make up this data set for myself. So you can also look at the convergence, because if you're not me, then you wouldn't know from just that result. Are we stuck in a local optimum? Should we be running this longer? You know, did we get, you know, should we have stopped earlier? And that, I think, is one thing we would like to have more input or more help in scikit-optimize, is tools that can help you decide this. I think it's a very, very difficult problem to solve, but it's something I think that would be extremely useful. So you can look at plots like this, where you see what the best value or best score is as a function of the number of iterations you've done. And if you happen to know that the best score you can get is -1, then probably you're satisfied that we've arrived somewhere good. But if you didn't know that, and there's plenty of problems where you don't know what the best score is, then you would still wonder, you know, should we do more or not? Another thing you can do is plot where in your space you've evaluated your function. So this is a 2D version of the plot we had before. And what you can see is, so it does kind of sample the space. It's not uniformly sampled. And the color of each of the dots tells you when it was sampled. So the more yellow, i.e. invisible for you guys, it is the later in the chain it was sampled. And then there's lots of points right down here on top of each other, trying to nail down the point where Weizenbier is on this plot. Okay, so there's a bunch more visualization tools in scikit-optimize, especially for problems which have more than two dimensions. So, you know, in 2D this is nice, but in 3D already we cannot make this plot. So there's a bunch of tools to help you with that, and if you have good ideas or a skill with visualizing data like this, then come and see me at the sprint on Friday. Okay, scikit-optimize, I already told you and I showed you what it does. Why did we start it, or what is it all about? Well, there's a whole bunch of Bayesian optimization libraries, and usually when you ask people about them, they tell you they're very hard to install. And so Andy Müller tweeted this at the beginning of August, and you know, he says 3 out of 6 actually installed on his machine and 0 out of 6 passed the tests, which I think is unfair because he uses scikit-learn master, and they just merged something that broke scikit-optimize. So I think that it should be 1 out of 6. But he disagrees. So anyway, so we really try and make it super easy to install, and you know, it's not a wrapper written in Python around some Java code or something like this. It's all written in Python. You have to install NumPy first, and then you can install scikit-optimize. We have 3 different ways to use the internal machinery, depending on what you like. So there's one way to use it, or one interface, which is very similar to the scipy.optimize functions. There's one which we call the ask and tell interface, which is very useful for people who actually have stuff that takes very long to compute. So I know some people who use this who have MATLAB code or actually have to go to a lab and program some numbers into a robot. So what you do is you set up an instance of the optimizer, and then you ask it for a suggestion, and it, you know, says, please find out what the value of the objective is at these parameters. And if you have a little Python function, then, you know, you can just calculate it right there. But you could also just print it out, turn off the process, go to your lab, or send your grad student to your lab, and then 3 months later they come back, and then you tell the optimizer, okay, this is the value of the objective at this point, and then you just keep doing this until you find a good point. And then lots of people also use Bayesian optimization to find good hyperparameters for their machine learning algorithms. So recently we added Bayes Search CV, which is a nearly perfect in terms of API replacement for grid search CV or random search CV. So if you're using that, you can try out Bayes Search very easily. We also have a huge number of, or not a huge number, but a good number of Jupyter notebooks that serve as documentation. And a lot of the examples I showed you are taken directly from that. And they try and explain to people, A, what is Bayesian optimization? What are the trade-offs? What is in scikit-optimize and things like this. And they're all Jupyter notebooks, so you can just execute them. And they will reproduce the plots which are in them on the web page. And if they're not, then you should tell us. And so the second to last slide, I think the most important number on this screenshot is 23 down here, because this is the other problem that a lot of these Bayesian optimization packages have. They have a very small number of contributors. And we would like to have even more people help us build this. So if you have some interest or time, then come tomorrow for the sprint, but also come and join us on GitHub. We're very friendly. Seriously, I mean, it's an important thing. No, nobody likes working with people who just shout at you. If you like working with people in scikit-learn, then I think a lot of us have some kind of heritage from there, so we're like that, but maybe faster because we don't have so much code to maintain. There you go. So, questions?
Thank you so much, Tim, for a very interesting presentation. And we have time for questions, yeah?
Oh, I'm in trouble with Gail. Actually, so one thing you could do, if you want to indulge me, is, well, we need to find the camera operator to zoom out, and then you could wave, because some of the scikit-optimize guys could not come, but they promised they would watch the live stream, so.
So I've used scikit-optimize, it's great. I had a question about best practices. If you're optimizing over a problem that has a lot of categorical variables, do you have any suggestions for, like, should you use the tree optimizer, the Gaussian process optimizer, and like, where can I, like, is there literature on this that you'd suggest people should look into? Like,
so I think the most famous literature is a paper by Nando de Freitas and friends about optimizing things in a billion dimensions. And they do random embedding, and then I think they do GPs. I would try a tree-based one. If you really have a large number of dimensions, I think that's the way to go.
Any other questions? Yeah.
Very nice. This is powerful. Very nice talk and very nice package, of course. So one of the really nice things of Bayesian optimization is that you can, so as you said, you can have an ask and tell. So you can couple it with parallel computing in a way that you, as the results come back, you're clever about where you might kill. As you get more data, you might like change your optimization strategy. Yep. Do you have this, or are you planning to do this?
So in scikit-optimize, there is the beginning of being able to ask for suggestions in parallel. It's then up to you what you actually do with the suggestions. What makes it, there's a lot of ideas on what you could be doing. The problem is the more parallelization you want, the more you are going back to making guesses because you have no chance on informing this. So it's something we're thinking about. There's some beginning of it implemented, especially for Bayes search CV. But somebody needs to get around to making a nice benchmark, essentially, and then implementing it. More questions? I'll repeat it. So I would say that...
Please repeat the question.
Yes, I'll repeat the question. So the question is, when is it better to use a genetic algorithm? I would say, use tools like this, if calling your function takes days, weeks, months, and you cannot afford to buy more computers to make it run faster, or buy a second research lab to make it go faster. So, I'm serious. No, because then, and if you can just buy three more computers and make it run three times as fast, then do that. Like, as much as I like scikit-optimize, if you can solve your problem by spending a few hundred euros, dollars, then do that, because it's much simpler. So and then in the same vein, if you can afford to do genetic algorithms with their large number of function evaluations, then do that.
Any other questions?
Yeah. We're randomly sampling the room.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for the excellent choice of topic for introducing optimization. Can you extract the probability models that are generated during the optimization generally, or was that visualization you did on the probabilities just for this?
No, so you get access to all the examples I show use a Gaussian process model regressor, and you get access to the fitted model, and then you can do whatever you want with that as well.
That's probably one of the good visualizations you want to do if you want to find whether you're stuck in a local minimum or not.
Yes, the problem is, yeah, how do you do this if you have a 10D space? That's, I think, the big question.
Yes, thanks.
We have a couple of minutes for one or two more questions. No? Thank you so much, Tim.
Thank you.